I'll be in tomorrow to shoot, after 6 sometime, I told him behind my back. Whatever. I slammed the door shut. Yeah, Mike was pissed, and yeah, I still didn't give a fuck. I belonged to someone. This girl fucking had me. Craziest shit I'd ever felt. She didn't know it. She might not ever know it, but the second this changed between us, the night Sydney gave herself to me in a way I will never fucking let go of, that was it. Fucking it. She came, and I was a fucking goner. I wouldn't give Sid what I was giving her now and have this shit going on behind her back. Fuck no, never. No matter if she found out about this or not, I wouldn't betray her like that. I wouldn't taint what we had or spit on what she gave me. It was everything. From the start, from that first mistaken phone call, it was everything. Everything I had and wanted and needed. I'd do this new arrangement and get the cash for the kid, help his family the way I needed to be helping them, and I'd have my girl in my ear at night. Fuck yeah, this would work. It had to. I didn't have any other options. Balancing the two boxes on one hand, I took to knocking after ringing the doorbell once and not getting an answer, hoping the pounding of my fist would grab someone's attention. It did. The door swung open seconds later. A round face with big brown eyes framed in blue glasses and freshly bathed hair, wet and wild-looking, drew my attention down from where it was fixed to greet my sister. Oliver, my nephew, filled the doorway instead, standing in his Star Wars pajamas and the dog slippers he got for Christmas last year. "Hey, Uncle Brian," he greeted me with his crooked smile, then immediately slid his eyes to the boxes in my hand, where they went wide and stayed wide, as he pumped his fists in the air and jumped up and down, chanting, "Pizza! Pizza! Pizza! Pizza!" I heard another little voice calling from inside the house. Then not 2 seconds later, Olivia came rushing up to stand beside her brother, grinned big when she saw me, and even bigger when she saw the pizza boxes I was carrying, pumped her fists in the air, but did it by alternating them in time with her knees drawing up as she bounced from one dog-slippered foot to the other, also chanting, "Pizza, pizza, pizza!" "You guys eat yet?" I asked over their chanting, stepped inside, and closed the door behind me. "Nope. Mama's making a roast and it smells like feet. We don't want it," Oliver answered, scrunching up his nose after. I kept my laugh silent. "Feet? It really does, Uncle Brian," Olivia assured me, reaching out and tugging on the bottom of my shirt. Her hair was wet too, and fell in 2 long braids past her shoulders, making damp spots on her flower-covered pajamas. "Can't you smell it? She put onions in there and those green things we don't even like. She's trying to poison us. Now we're having pizza." Oliver held up his hand and his twin high-fived him. "Yes," Olivia whispered excitedly. They were 7. Got along great for siblings, which I figured had to do with them being twins and sharing something regular siblings didn't share. Regular siblings fought, at least occasionally. These two didn't. Siblings also liked having breaks from each other, alone time, but not Oliver and Olivia. They mourned each other if they were ever apart, even for a night. My sister Jenna moved into the room then from the direction of the kitchen, wearing an apron and wiping her hands off on a towel.
"Uncle Brian brought us pizza, Mom,"
Olivia shrieked, pushing her matching blue glasses up her nose when they started sliding down.
"Can we have it?"
"But I made roast,"
Jenna replied, watching both kids drop their heads. She gave me a wink, then shifted her gaze between the two of them.
"Yes, we can have it. I'll save the roast for tomorrow."
"Yes!"
Oliver pumped his fist into the air, then spun around and took the boxes from me. Olivia followed behind him into the kitchen, hooting and hollering.
"Big brother," Jenna greeted me, coming over for a hug. "It's good to see you."
She was 2 years younger than me, which kept us tight growing up. Petite like our mother and barely came up to my chin. Her dark hair tickled my jaw as she squeezed my waist.
"You too," I said, reciprocating the affection.
Figured I'd bring food since I haven't made it over in a while. I gave her an apologetic look as she pulled away. "Sorry, work shit."
I was including getting called to ecstasy in the work shit excuse. There was nothing shit about wax, and nothing wax-related ever kept me from coming over here. It's okay, I get it. I'm just happy you're here now. She gave me a smile. Come on, let's eat before the two of them put all that food away and leave us with nothing but roast that apparently smells like feet. Laughing, I followed behind Jenna and got some of the pizza. After dinner and cleanup, I stood in the kitchen while Oliver and Olivia played the Wii in the living room. Jenna was putting away the roast and the vegetables now that they were completely cooled, and she was doing this after warning her kids they'd be having roast and Brussels sprouts for dinner tomorrow. Bellies full of pizza and soda, they didn't give her any lip over it. I stood with my hip to the counter, finishing off the last of my second Coke, taking in the surroundings of my sister's small but cozy apartment, and the two kids in the other room, absorbing their laughter and triumphant squeals when she nudged my side. You seem better, she whispered from beside me. That's good, Brian. Really good. I'm happy to see that. Shit. I didn't want to get into this. I never did. Especially not with Jenna. I moved a little so I was ahead of her and kept my eyes to the living room when I spoke. Come on, stop. Stop what? She asked, moving with me, fucking typical, only this time spinning when she reached my side again so she could look up at my face. I'm just saying it's good to see you laughing and smiling again. You should be laughing and smiling, Brian. None of it was your fault. I sat my can on the counter and rubbed my face with both hands, then kept avoiding her deeply compassionate eyes, which I knew she had on me, and remained staring into the living room when I replied, Not getting into this with you, Jen. Had a nice dinner with you and the kids, and I'd like to leave here still thinking it was a nice dinner. And not a pain in my ass because you're hitting me with this bullshit again. I don't want to hear it. Then I looked down at her to say, You weren't there. You don't get to weigh in. And you're wasting your breath anyway. We both know that. She touched my elbow, her cool fingers wrapping around it. I was just commenting on how nice it is seeing you this way again. I've missed it. She bit her lip. And I thought maybe you had come around to thinking what I know is to be true. That's not it. I interrupted. Or, she continued, letting go of my arm as the lip she was biting started twitching, if maybe you're happy because of something else? I raised my brows. Like a girl, maybe? Arms crossing over my chest, I moved my eyes up and over to the living room again, huffing out a breath. Oh my God, Jenna whispered. Not talking about this with you. She popped up on her toes and leaned closer, pointing at me. I don't even care. You're totally admitting to me right now there is a girl, and she's the one making you happy. I shook my head, but I did it smiling. Big mistake. Brian! She squealed, jumping up and down while gripping my biceps. Oliver's head popped up from in front of the couch. What's going on? Olivia's followed. Yeah, what's going on in there? Nothing, I answered, stepping back and out of Jenna's grip, then swatting at her hand when she reached for me again. Jenna smiled up at me, baring white teeth ready to sink in for the kill. Uncle Brian has a girlfriend and he loves her. I glared at my sister. She smiled bigger. Never said that, I growled. You smiled, she shot back arrogantly with a cock of her hip, and I didn't miss it. Cool. Oliver muttered before sliding down the couch and disappearing again, the game on the TV unpausing. Super cool, Olivia yelled, with a grin matching her mother's. She pretty? Jenna was nodding like she fucking knew the answer to that question. It was time for me to go. I'll see you guys later, I called out, as I made for the door, hoping I wouldn't upset Olivia for ignoring her. Brian, wait, Jenna yelled behind my back. You're still babysitting for me next week, right? I have that date. Yeah, Uncle Brian, Olivia shouted. We're coming over to play, remember? Yeah, Liv, I said, looking back at her and then turning to give Jenna a smile. About time, too. She scrunched up her nose and made a face. After waving and saying my goodbyes, I got into my Jeep and drove home, where I called my girl the second I cut the engine. With her in my ear, I smiled some more. And I let her have it.
Chapter 10. Sydney. My mother used to tell me not to get comfortable being happy. She said this a lot after Barrett died. To herself and to me, although I think it was mostly to herself when she would sit on the couch and stare off at nothing. Don't get comfortable being happy, she would say. It'll only hurt worse when it's gone. I didn't understand the truth to her statement then. My 12-year-old mind couldn't understand it. I just sat there and squeezed her hand or pressed closer, wishing and praying she would get better soon and want to eat popsicles on the porch with me again. Lime was my favorite. Hers was cherry. I would have eaten cherry every day if it meant getting that back. Now I realized what my mother meant 12 years ago, and just how true her statement was. It was Thursday, and it was my day off this week. I'd worked 6 straight days and would have worked 7 no problem, considering how much I loved my new job and the tips I was getting, the kick-ass laid-back atmosphere, the cute little uniforms that were super comfy, the people I worked with. Okay, everything. I loved everything. It felt more like hanging out with my closest friends than work on most days. I was even starting to consider Stitch a friend now that we'd spent a lot of shifts together and had gotten used to his big bad bearded ways, which included him being silent 99% of the time, while I gabbed about my life and about Brian, figuring he wouldn't mention it to anyone since he never spoke unless really provoked, those times being few and far between and normally coinciding with something Shay did or said. She was still all over that window and was always sharing with him. He was still letting her share and listening like he did with me and the other girls, but appeared to be listening harder and taking more in when she spoke. All hard looks and edge, drove a motorcycle, and smoked like a chimney on his brakes, fingers, hands, forearms, and I'm betting the rest of him covered in tattoos, plus the whole not speaking thing, which made him a tiny bit scary. But twice now I'd seen him smile. Not much of one. Barely a lip spasm behind his blanket of a beard, but it was there, and both times appearing after Shay said or did something cute with her back to him. Stitch had a soft spot, and Shay filled it. I was certain of that. It felt good telling him about Brian, telling anyone about Brian, when I wanted to tell everyone and everything, living or not, because if I was being honest, I had already confessed my secret to numerous objects around Tori's house. And to just about every blade of grass surrounding Whitecaps when I'd step outside on my break. Even confiding in a stupid blade of grass felt good. But the one person I really wanted to tell, my best friend, my partner in crime, and the one person I didn't keep anything from, couldn't, no. I couldn't tell Tori. For a number of reasons. I was scared she wouldn't approve. I was scared she'd tell me I shouldn't be feeling the things I was feeling for Brian when I was still technically married to Marcus. And boy, oh boy, was I feeling things. Lots of things. Tickling butterfly wings and a runaway heartbeat. Goosebump-giving thoughts and toe-curling desires. I felt them all the time. I was scared Tori would tell me it was too much, too soon, too fast. I was scared I'd start believing her. I was scared she'd be right. So I confided in coffee mugs and my bedroom ceiling, her favorite Christmas quilt wrapped around me in my shower-fogged reflection. And now, Stitch. I had no idea what his thoughts were on the matter, but his silence didn't bother me. It just felt good telling someone. Anyone. Stitch would do for now. Maybe in a month I'd feel better about telling Tori. And maybe she wouldn't hate me for keeping it from her. Maybe. God, I really hoped she wouldn't hate me. Guilt, I was feeling it. And I was feeling it hard, which led me to spending my day off cleaning Tori's house from top to bottom, set on making it sparkle. I even cleaned the oven, got a little dizzy from the fumes, and had to sit for a minute and regroup myself. Then heard the buzzer go off on the dryer and went about folding a mix of our clothes. I was being stupid. I knew deep down cleaning wouldn't help me feel better about keeping my secret from Tori, but it did distract me, and I appreciated the distraction. It also wore me out. By 4:30, I was slumped on one arm of the couch in my cleaning sweats and baggy tee, my hair a hot tangled mess and my eyes closed as I curled into the soft leather cushion. The front door swung open, hinges creaking. I peeked my eye open and watched Tori do a little spin and hip shimmy in the entryway after closing the door. Find my one eye peeking and lock onto it. Smile big, then continue popping her hips as she threw her hands into the air and swayed them like trees blowing in the wind. Someone was in a good mood. Good lunch with your dad? I asked, popping my other eye open and lifting my chin to see her better over the armrest. Good? No, great lunch. Check it out. She stopped dancing and pulled something white and rectangular out of her back jeans pocket, held it out in front of her as she closed the gap between us, doing this while sliding her fingers smoothly, separating the objects and displaying two of whatever it was as she came to a stop in front of the couch. I stared at the objects, not getting what I was supposed to be checking out, then lifted my gaze to hers. What's that? She smiled, slow and devilish, with wine-colored lips. Get up, get in the shower, and put yourself in something fierce, hun, because you and me are spending the night with... She turned the objects around and thrust them in my face, yelling, Gaga! I sucked in a breath and sat up, blinking between her and the tickets in her hand. What? I asked, my breath hitching excitedly. You got us tickets to see Lady Gaga? Where? The pier, Tori stated casually, handing me a ticket and fanning herself with the other. They sold out in 8 minutes, but Daddy pulled some strings for his little princess, surprised me with them at lunch today. He's the best. I couldn't begin to think how much these probably cost, Mr. Rivera. I knew he had connections, but Gaga connections? Holy shit. This is awesome! I leaped off the couch, tugging the waistband of my sweats when they started sliding down, and stood in front of Tori after she took a step back. How much do I owe him for this? Oh my God, I can't believe we get to see her. We're her little monsters. Yeah, we are. No, but seriously. I touched her arm. How much were these? I don't want your dad paying for me. Tori waved her ticket in the air dismissively. It's on him. He said he's proud of you for staying so strong right now and finding your happiness. I filled him in the other day on the phone. I pulled my lips between my teeth, fighting tears. God, sweetest man ever, and the closest thing I'd ever had to a father. Tori shook her head at my reaction, then leaned in so we were touching foreheads. You're his other princess, hon, you know that. I know, I whispered, thinking back to my 13th birthday party, which Tori's parents threw for me, renting out a hall and hiring a DJ and caterer, going all out for their daughter's new best friend when they didn't have to. And filling that room with so much love, I forgot why my own mother hadn't done a thing for me that day. She was off finding her peace over Barrett, peace she didn't think included me. Thank God for Tori and her family. Thank God. Breathing deep and shaking off all sad thoughts right now, because this moment was seriously kicking ass and I wanted it to continue kicking ass, I pulled back an inch and slowly lifted my ticket between us, smiling brightly around it. I'm so excited I might pee myself, I admitted. Tori threw her head back with a laugh, linked her arm with mine, and pulled me in the direction of the stairs. Keep it in, will ya? These floors look banging. I giggled as we walked side by side up the stairs, asking, Think you can hook me up with something to wear tonight? I don't have anything fierce. Gotcha covered on that. We separated at the top so I could cut a right and Tori could cut a left. I was fishing through my top drawer for some panties when she popped into my room and deposited an outfit and accessories on my bed. Little black dress with mesh across the top, revealing the tops of your breasts when worn, and big silver studs clustered in a thick stripe going down both hips to the hem. It was short and sleeveless and breathtakingly expensive by the looks of it. Next to it on the bed was a studded cuff bracelet, two choices of choker necklaces, and black sling-back heels. Fierce. I loved it. What are you wearing? I asked Tori, halting her at the door. She gave me a wink behind her overgrown blonde bangs. You'll see. I showered and shaved, slathered on my favorite sweet-smelling body lotion, slid into the dress after deciding on a thong and no bra, thanks to the mesh, and curled and teased my hair, giving it body and height that looked kick-ass paired with my outfit. I also went to town on my makeup job, keeping everything heavy, but the kind of heavy that screamed fierce concert goer and not back alley hooker. Dark smoky eyes, false lashes that flared at the ends, and warm cerise lipstick. I felt pretty, really pretty. The kind of pretty a girl had to commemorate with a selfie, and there was only one person in the entire world I wanted to send that selfie to. I bit my lip while swiping my phone off the bed and pulling up the camera mode. I was nervous. Understandably so. This would be the first time Brian was going to see me. Like, ever. Heavy stuff right there. I thought about sending him pictures before, but got sidetracked with conversation, and his sweet as warmed honey voice I wanted to taste, and all thoughts of pictures would slip my mind. Considering he never asked to see a photo of me didn't help either. Since he wasn't bringing it up, I was hardly thinking about it. But right now, standing in my bedroom with my makeup done up and my hair looking prettier than it had on prom night, sending Brian a picture of me was suddenly all I could think about. And before I could think or whisper talk myself out of it, I reversed the camera so I could see myself on the screen, held the device out in front of me, and off to the right of it, pursed my stained lips into a kiss, other hand poised at my chin to blow it, and snapped the picture. Then I attached it to a text and hit send. Feeling wild. I wanted to put my phone down. Really, I did, especially since I had to snap on my studded cuff bracelet, and that required use of both hands. Furthermore, because Tori had given me a 15-minute warning close to 15 minutes ago, but I couldn't let the damn thing go. I couldn't stop looking at it either. My stomach was clenched. I was biting my fist and pacing the length of the bed, head down and eyes anxiously focused. But when the little bubbles floated in teasing intervals on my screen and I knew Brian had seen my photo, that's when the real panic set in. Would he like how I looked? Would it be how he had imagined and confessed to imagining countless times late at night to me? Or better, would my photo exceed the limits of his imagination and paint a more pleasing image in his mind? Or would he hate it and me for sending it to him, shattering his dreamed-up spank bank material and ruining every orgasm I ever gave him? Shit. Shit! Which was it, and why the hell was he taking so long to type? Didn't he know this was killing me? Hurry up, I whispered against the screen. It started ringing in response to my plea, startling me, and nearly slipping out of my hand. Oh, God, he was calling. Brian was calling after looking at my picture. I was going to have a heart attack and never live to see the Pacific Ocean. Damn. I held my breath and hit answer. Hey there, trouble. I spoke lightly, forcing a smile I wasn't sure I was going to keep, depending on which way my photo swayed him. You fucking shitting me with this wild? What are you thinking right now, huh? He was swaying a hard right into Suckland, where he hated me, the photo, and was most likely regretting all those orgasms. I felt sick and gripped my dresser for support. I stammered, swallowing hard. I was thinking I'd send you a photo of me, you know, since I hadn't yet. That's me in that photo. No shit, he growled. What I'm asking right now is, what are you thinking sending it to me? I was thinking I wanted you to see it, I answered honestly. He exhaled slowly, then spoke, still sounding pissed off, but doing it softer. You shouldn't have done that. My stomach unclenched, only to lurch and twist uncomfortably. He wasn't attracted to me. I closed my eyes and whispered, I know. You know, he echoed unconvincingly. You don't like it. It's not what you thought I'd look like, and you're wishing you never would have seen it. I shifted over to stare at my reflection in the mirror. I suddenly felt the farthest from pretty. That's why you're mad. You don't know, was all he replied, and he said it firmly, resolutely. What? You don't know. What are you saying? I asked. I'm saying the reason I'm pissed isn't because I was sent a photo of a gorgeous girl. My gorgeous girl, and I wasn't liking what I was looking at. That ain't it. You're beautiful, Sid. Knew it before I saw the photo, and that opinion damn sure hasn't changed now that I have seen it. If anything, it's become more solid. My stomach wasn't lurching and twisting anymore. Those pesky little butterflies were back, enjoying their favorite flip and twist. My gorgeous girl. Oh, wow. Brian totally just called me his girl. And he thinks I'm gorgeous. I wet my lips, careful of my color. Okay, I replied gently. What I am pissed about is the fact you sent that photo to me. I cocked my head in the mirror. I was officially confused. He liked the photo, thought I was gorgeous in it, but he was mad I sent it to him? Why would he be mad? He liked it. You lost me there, I admitted. Why are you pissed again? You ever meet me wild? In person, or... Yeah, in fucking person, you know, to verify I'm not some psycho looking to find out where you live so I can kidnap you and do all kinds of messed up shit. Because there's people out there in this world who are like that, babe, and sending your photo to a guy you've never physically met is probably the dumbest fucking move ever. You don't know me. Okay, that hurt. I didn't think it was a dumb move. And he was wrong. Next to Tori, Brian had become the most important person in my life. We spoke daily, sometimes multiple times a day, for hours and hours. I knew him. You're not a psycho, Brian, I said, stepping back and waiting until I felt cotton comforter against my legs before I sat down on the bed. And I do know you. No, you don't, he argued, his voice rising. You don't know me, Sid. You'll never fucking know me. I'm a voice to you. That's it. I could be anybody. No, you couldn't. My own voice shook now. I could feel the tears threatening. I was so angry and confused. Why was he saying this? You're not anybody, Brian. You're you. I sent that photo to you, not just anybody. We've talked every day for the past month. And that's all we're ever gonna do, don't you get that? Why? I practically shouted, grateful for the closed door. Why is that all? Why should that be all? Is it, do you think I won't like how you look? Is that it? Because I would, I know I would. Christ, he groaned. This is the farthest thing from it, okay? I'm not worried about that. Then what is it? I was becoming agitated now. He wasn't the only one getting pissy and ruining the mood. What is it, Brian? I pressed, teeth clenched. I don't want to know you. I can't, all right? Breath pulled from my lungs as if someone were sucking it straight out of me. I blinked at a knob on my dresser, body stilled, deadened. He didn't want to know me. God, that hurt. Worse than Marcus pulling away. How was that possible? My head snapped right when Tori knocked sharply on the door. You ready? She called from behind it. Fuck, Wild. Brian breathed in my ear, heavy and sad sounding. I didn't mean it like that, okay? That's not... I'm done talking to you right now. I cut him off and stood, walking over to my shoes and stepping into them. I need to finish getting ready for the Lady Gaga concert, and Tori is ready, so I need to finish now. You don't want the picture I sent? Delete it. Problem solved. I bent down and slid the straps behind my heels. He was being a total jerk. I didn't like it one bit. Tori knocked again. Hun, time to go. I gathered my purse and studded cuff off the bed and gripped the phone tightly. Goodbye, Brian, I said curtly. Sid. I disconnected the call and switched my phone to vibrate mode, already feeling it shudder to life inside the confines of my purse when I took the steps to open the door and got a look at my best friend. She wore a black sleeveless leotard with fishnets and combat boots, and she was rocking that red lipstick like a pro. Totally fierce. All good? Tori asked, stepping back so I could move into the hallway. I hid my bleeding heart behind a smile, nodded, then took her hand. All great. The concert was amazing, jam-packed and theatrical. It was also incredibly distracting. I stopped thinking about my conversation with Brian 5 minutes in and danced without a care between sweaty bodies, screaming lyrics at the top of my lungs with my hands raised and my head thrown back. I seriously needed to send Mr. Rivera a gift basket or something. most fun I'd ever had in a little black dress. We were floor level, standing room only, so when a slower song cut on halfway through the show, Tori and I leaned into each other, arms wrapped around hips and bodies angled, supporting weight. It was the start of the second verse when I felt the vibration at my thigh from where my purse dangled off my shoulder. I debated not looking for the whole second it took me to pull out the phone and check the screen, expecting another message or missed call from Brian. He had racked up 4 in total, but seeing Joyce's name flashing rhythmically instead. She was an old coworker of mine at my job back in Raleigh. Nice woman. Baked the best cherry almond cookies at Christmas time. It was strange she was calling me, though. Maybe something terrible had happened to someone I used to work with. God, I hope not. I slid out of Tori's hold, motioned to her I needed to take a call, then pressed answer, but didn't speak into the phone until I pushed through the crowd and made it up the stairs, past security at the fence, and onto the gravel parking lot surrounding the outdoor arena, where the chances of hearing her seemed most promising. Hey, Joyce, I finally greeted her, feeling the pop of gravel beneath my feet as I meandered aimlessly. Hey, sweetie, look, this might not be any of my business, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. You know, woman to woman, this was a bitch move if you asked me. Okay, I chuckled, ignorant to where this conversation was headed. She pushed out a breath. I saw Marcus picking up Christine after her shift. Christine was another one of my former co-workers, though we never officially worked together. I was day shift, she was night. The most communication we'd shared was a friendly smile at the time clock during shift change. Still. What? I stopped meandering aimlessly. When? This morning. Wanted to call you sooner, but I was running late, and we've been slammed thanks to a 10-car pileup. I spotted his truck at the emergency entrance when I was parking. Thought maybe you were back and things with him were patched over? Gotta admit, that excited me. Between you and me, this place is now seriously lacking in decent techs. But then I saw Christine getting into the passenger seat and she was doing it, smiling. He leaned over and kissed her before taking off. I saw it. I started breathing differently, quick bursts of air escaping as I locked my knees and focused on remaining upright. What a shit, right? Joyce asked. Her and him? You don't dip into your ex's company, Inc. That's just low. Do you know how long they've been seeing each other? I asked, but in my heart, I knew the answer to that question already. It was his reason, why he wanted out. Marcus had an affair. I don't know, sweetie. You know, I don't talk to her since we're on opposite shifts. This could have been going on for years, for all I know. She paused, then quietly added, I'm sure it wasn't that long. I was going to puke all over Tori's designer dress. Years? I have to go, I told her, speaking fast, my legs carrying me somewhere I had no idea where. It felt directionless. I just needed to move. Thank you for calling me, Joyce. I appreciate it. Sure thing, Sid. You know I got your back. I know. Thank you. I hung up the call and scrolled through my contacts until I landed on the most deceitful name in the English language. Didn't hesitate to dial, even though I wasn't entirely sure I was strong enough to handle this conversation right now, but found the strength I needed in my anger and homed in on that as I pressed the phone to my ear and paced at the front of the darkened lot. You finally broke, Marcus answered after 2 rings, sounding all too pleased with himself. Took you long enough, Sid, Jesus. What the fuck, Marcus? I shrieked, uncaring of any audience I might have. He was silent for a moment. Then, under his breath, I heard him mumble, you know. I felt his teeth tear into my heart and rip it open. Pain replaced rage, tears for temper. Joyce called me, I said brokenly with wet eyes. She saw you 2 this morning, saw you kiss her. God, Marcus, you are such an asshole. It had to be someone I knew, someone I worked with. Hey, I didn't do shit with her until I ended things with you, so get off my ass. I did right by you. You did right by me? The hand at my side curled into a fist. How? You cheated.
No, I fucking didn't, he growled. I waited, Sid. Saw Christine a few months back when I was visiting my mom after her surgery. Christine just happened to be doing an x-ray on her. Got to talking a little, and yeah, I may have flirted, but I didn't touch her until after you left. I wouldn't do that to you. Oh, you're such a decent guy, Marcus, I snapped. You still looked at her? I had to look at her. She was working on my mom. That's not what I mean, and you know it. Don't give me a fucking attitude like everything was perfect between us. You know it wasn't. We were drifting, Sid. We barely spoke anymore, and we sure as hell weren't fucking. Things weren't good. The time we were spending together, we spent bickering over bullshit. Christ, come on, he pleaded. It wasn't fun anymore. You know it wasn't. Neither one of us was happy. So when a pretty girl showed me attention after I'd gone months without getting it from my own wife, I noticed, and I gave her that same attention back. It felt good. I can't believe this, I whispered. You're saying this was my fault? I'm saying I wasn't happy. You weren't either, he stated indifferently. Found someone who could make me happy, and I'm not about denying myself when shit at home wasn't worth being miserable over. We were done. We could have worked things out, I murmured, then blinked and sent the tears free-falling. Fought for it. I was tired of fighting, Sid. So were you. I closed my eyes. He was right. I couldn't dispute it. I had been tired, mind and heart exhausted in my marriage. I wasn't happy with the way things were, but that didn't mean I was considering a life without my husband. I wasn't at that point a month ago. But he was. He'd been there for God knows how long. Reached that point and gone farther. He put it into motion. He wandered. You weren't supposed to see anyone but me, Marcus. You promised in our vows, remember? Only me. I inhaled through shattered breaths and spoke with tear-soaked lips as my eyes lost focus on a street lamp. But you looked at her. You looked at her when you were mine. How could you do that? You weren't looking at me anymore, he answered guiltlessly. I was just the first one of us to realize there was somewhere else to look. I swallowed down the sick creeping up my throat. This was cheating in my eyes, no matter how hard he disputed it. I knew how I felt and how much it hurt knowing the truth. 10 minutes ago, I hated my husband for cutting me loose without an explanation. Now I hated him for not doing it sooner. Got the papers for you to sign. I'll put them in the mail tomorrow. Overnight them. You know where I am? I asked, the backs of my fingers catching a tear. Tori's, he replied. Christine said she heard you move to Dogwood. Right, I rolled my eyes. Thanks a lot for checking up on me, by the way. Nice to know you cared enough to make sure I was all right after 7 years. We weren't happy together, Sid. Knew you'd be good once you got away, same as me. I'm better now. Not gonna lie and say I'm glad to hear that, 'cause I'm not, I huffed. It's better for both of us. You'll see. Whatever, send the papers, I'll sign them. Then I don't ever want to hear from you or see your face again. Marcus sighed. This doesn't need to get ugly, Sydney. Seriously? Seriously. I sucked in a breath. It got ugly the second you cheated on me, Marcus. I didn't cheat, he argued. Looking and flirting ain't cheating. You're an idiot if you think that's true, and honestly, I'm glad I'm not tied to you anymore if these were your beliefs all along. God knows how much looking and flirting you've been doing behind my back over the years. Never hurt you, did it? My breath caught somewhere between my chest and my throat. He'd been looking and flirting. All these years he'd been doing it. Oh, God. Hand cupping my mouth and body trembling, I listened as he continued on enlightening me of his ways. Wait, is Sid, as long as it's not taken a step further, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Those were his thoughts, ones he never felt the need to share with me. This conversation was over. Send the papers, I whispered with fresh tears in my eyes, lowered the phone while hopefully disconnecting it. I couldn't know for sure because I couldn't see anything through my veil of watery suffering, pushed the device into my purse, and spun around on weak footing,
moving with devastated purpose to get back under the pavilion and to my best friend before I collapsed right there in the middle of the parking lot. Tears were falling steadily now, my body jerking with each cry-filled breath I took. I could barely see. It was dark. My makeup was running and hindering my sight, and I was moving faster than my heels safely allowed. I needed Tori. Between a blink and a sniffle, I slammed straight into a wall of a chest, large and unmoving, not seeing it come out of nowhere if it did, or maybe I ran at it unintentionally when I could have avoided it. I had no way of knowing. I was dizzy with sadness. Pain and hurt and shock filled my veins and twisted my awareness. The man didn't speak. I didn't either, because I couldn't. I fell, hand to mouth into him as his arms swallowed me up, and his presence surrounded me then, folded in, bringing me closer at the same time as I burrowed deeper and broke into a thousand tears. It wasn't awkward. I didn't pull away. Neither did he. Makeup smeared and saliva soaking. He didn't seem to care. He held on, and I pressed closer. Marcus ate my heart, piece by hope-filled piece, during a five-minute phone call. I couldn't feel its beat anymore, and I was finding comfort in this stranger's arms. His shape and smell and size became my security and safe place. I was taking what he gave, and he was giving it selflessly, holding on as I held tighter, my one hand clutching his shirt as his soothed in slow movements up and down my spine. The harder I cried, the firmer his hold became. The more my body shook with sadness, the stronger he stood. I never saw his face. I never even looked up. I fell apart, and he held me through it. Then I left him without uttering a word. An hour later, Tori and I were back at her place, even though the concert was still going strong and we both knew it wasn't ending before midnight. It didn't matter. She saw my face when I got back under the pavilion, heard what Marcus did from my lips pressed to her ear, and ended our night. Best friends knew when it was time to leave. I told her I just wanted to be alone, that I needed the quiet of my bedroom and the warmth of my bed, promising we'd talk about everything tomorrow. She agreed only after my promise, kissed my cheek, and queued up HBO after stretching out on the couch. Bedroom door closed and best friend occupied, I pulled my phone out of my purse and dialed Brian's number. There were several things motivating what I was about to do, but one thing stood out and rippled awareness over and under my skin. I couldn't ignore it. This was going to suck. Bad. There was no doubt in my mind it was going to hurt, too. Really bad. But it had to be done.
Wild,
Brian answered gently. That was all I could take of his voice. I can't do this anymore, I said, lip quivering. I heard his pull of breath and knew he was about to speak, protest, plea, and I couldn't hear it, so I kept going. I can't keep hoping and holding out, waiting for you to give me what I need, Brian, because I'll never stop waiting, you know? You said it yourself, you're just a voice, and that's all you'll ever be to me, and I can't, I'm not okay with that. I'll never be okay with that little of you.
Send me pictures, Sid, he begged urgently. Okay? You want to send me pictures? Send them. Send one right now. I want to see you.
This isn't about the picture, I stressed. How many times have I asked where you live or if we could meet up? That's what I want, Brian. I want to see you. I want to see how you smile and feel your hands against mine. I want to lie next to you and dream with you, and I can't. I'll never have that.
I lie next to you every night, don't you know that?
I sobbed hard into my hand. My devoured heart reached for him.
You got me, babe. Fuck. You've had me. When I was Wes, you had me.
When he was Wes. I wiped tears away and spoke through broken breaths. Tonight, you know what I did? I asked. I let some stranger hold me and comfort me, and I let myself think it was you. I imagined your arms and your breath in my hair, and it was perfect. It was exactly what I needed because I needed it to be you, Brian, but it wasn't. It will never be you holding me or catching me. I'm gonna fall, and you're not gonna be there.
Sid.
No, no. I dug my nails into my palm and held it at my side. This is over. It's over, Brian. Don't call me again. Don't text me. I won't answer. I swear I won't. Don't do this, he shot in, quiet and quick. Please, Wilde, don't do this to me, to us. You did this, Brian, I shot back. You did it because I'm here. I'm right here, waiting, asking you for more like I've always asked you. And I'm not going to wait anymore. Sydney, goodbye, Brian. It was me. I blinked at the wall. What? Holding you tonight, he explained, voice tight and anxious and filled with desperate lying words. It was me, okay? It was me. No one else holds you. I shook my head. He wanted to believe it too. Too bad that wasn't enough. Don't call me again, I whispered. I held the power button down until the phone went black, let it drop out of my hand and hit the floor, breaking, I hoped. I didn't want it anymore. Then I crawled in heels and washed away makeup onto my bed and collapsed on my side, face pressed to the pillow and hand over my mouth. It was over. I didn't stop crying until morning.
Chapter 11. Brian. Hand moving furiously over my dick, knees bent and spread with muscles strung tight, I arched my back off the bed and came in four shots onto my stomach, grunting with jaw clenched and nostrils flaring. Eyes closed and mind focused on one person, one image. Wild. She was beautiful, a chaos of crazy red and pale skin disguised. Perfection that tortured and teased me. My girl. My fucking girl. Cut! My eyes opened. I exhaled irritation and hatred for this place. Fuck them all. I wanted to burn this building to the fucking ground. Nice work, Dash, someone commented. It sounded like Eddie, the cameraman. Slimeball. He'd jerk off half the time while filming. Didn't care no one wanted to see that shit. Fucking degenerate. I ignored him and pushed my legs out, stretched, sat up, and wiped off with a towel someone had thrown on the bed, then swiped my clothes off the floor and tugged boxers, shorts, and tee on, arms sliding through the sleeves as I shoved through the crew hanging back to wrap up. I never stuck around. I came, collected, and got the fuck out of there. Not bothering to knock on Mike's door this time because I was on day two of No Wild and I was losing my goddamned mind over it, I pushed the door open and stepped into the office, ignored his whining protest of my disturbance and whoever the fuck else was in the room with him, snatched the cash he had laid out for me on the corner of his desk, counted it, turned without a glance in his immoral direction, and made for the door. Don't gotta be a dick about it, Dash, Mike tossed out at my back. Fuck off, I growled, slammed the door shut behind me, and crossed the room to get to the exit. Demetrius was headed to the office, caught my eyes as we passed, and tipped his chin. Didn't think that shit was going to cut it, but you're killing it on the site, man. People love watching you whack off. I ignored him, too. Didn't give a shit about hits on the site or anything else Demetrius had to tell me. Didn't give a shit about anything except getting gone. Dash, you hear what I said? He called when I reached the door. I shoved it open and stalked outside, silent, exchanged the phone in my pocket for the wad of cash, and scrolled to my recent calls, hitting dial as I got to my Jeep. My ass hit the leather the same time Sydney's voicemail kicked on. Her phone was off. Knew it was and had been since Thursday night. I'd called it enough to know. Left plenty of messages for her, not knowing if she was getting them, but figuring not, doubting she wanted to hear my voice if she was refusing to hear direct from me. I was in hell. Worse off than I was a month ago because I'd gotten a taste of something good and I'd forgotten what good tasted like, and worse, the good Sydney gave me was better than everything I had stripped away the night I fucked up. Sydney's good filled my head and my heart, blood warming and soul soothing. It pushed the deserving bad into a place I couldn't focus on or feel because she held my attention in the tips of her fingers and the ridges on her tongue. She made things sweet and right with her laughter and sleepy sighs, Her stories, through those stupid emojis she somehow made cute and charming, and the way she'd whisper my name and please to God when her hand moved between her legs. Her good was better. Better than I was worth, and she knew it. I knew it. Didn't change the fact I wanted her more than I could remember wanting anything, ever. How fucked up is that? I knew I didn't deserve her. Didn't stop me from wanting, though. The device cracked in distress when it struck the inside of the passenger door. I started up the Jeep, pulled out of the lot with dust spilling off my tires, and headed to the one place I'd been fighting going to, because I knew stepping foot in Whitecaps could seriously end it all for me, but I was desperate and stupid and gone. Day two into my madness. I no longer gave a shit about consequences. Throwing the gear into park, I cut the engine and got out, the slam of the door still echoing in my ear as I ascended the stairs and tore inside the restaurant with eyes scanning for red. It had been months since I came here. I couldn't remember the last time. Jamie frequented and Cole tagged along when he was free, but I usually kept to eating at the shop or picking somewhere within walking distance. Once I found out Sydney worked here, I definitely stayed away. Hello, welcome to Whitecaps. Not spotting who I was here for, I turned to the woman standing in front of me with a menu poised at the ready. She was tiny, chin-length dark hair held out of her face with a skull and crossbones bandana, bright red lips, and black-lined eyes. Vaguely, I thought I recognized her as one of the girls Wild was with the night she went Mike Tyson on a Corvette. Her name tag read Shay in swirled purple and black marker. Sydney here? I asked, watching her eyebrows slowly knit together. No, sorry, she called out. I think she's still sick. The woman drew the menu against her chest. Are you friends? Still sick. She wasn't sick. Not in the way this pocket-sized pixie was referring to. I knew that. And knowing what happened between us was keeping Sid from a job I knew she loved more than her last one, on top of everything else I'd been feeling recently, I started feeling sick right along with her. Sir? I sighed and squeezed the back of my neck, then looked at the woman. No, I answered firmly. We weren't friends. We weren't anything. She smiled politely. Just one of you? Or are you waiting for people? I was already turned around and halfway to the door when I mumbled an obvious and unnecessary, not staying. Beer number two in my hand, I leaned with elbows on the rail of my deck and stared out at the sunset-kissed waves over the light crowd settled on the beach. Gorgeous night. Still hot as shit out, making the water a good temperature, I imagined. Wasn't like I was getting in it and enjoying myself. Called Sid three more times since I got home from Whitecaps an hour ago, between doing a whole fuck of a lot of nothing else, and believe it or not, I was growing sick of the sweet voice I never thought I'd get enough of. If she asked me one more fucking time to leave a message after the beep, I was going to kill someone. I inhaled deep, searching for calm, but coming up short. I was on edge, and standing out here wasn't helping. I should have known. Tried it yesterday and found no relief doing it, but I didn't have anything else, so here I was doing it again. If I wasn't calling Sid, I was staring at her picture, and if I wasn't doing that, I was out here, phone inside and a safe distance away from the water, because I knew if I dialed her standing on the deck and she hadn't turned her shit on, I'd leave my message and then toss that fucker into the ocean. Couldn't have that happen, could I? Movement stirred my awareness, and I slid my eyes to it. I spotted Jamie walking back to the house with his board under his arm. What up? He yelled from below, propping his board against a post and taking the stairs rapidly. I shook my head with a bottle to my lips, swallowed some Corona, and kept looking out at the water. Jamie hit the planks below my feet and strolled my way. Fuck, Dash. You get some incurable STD from one of those bitches or something? Shit. I turned my head to Jamie. What? Look at you. He came to a stop a foot away, jutted his chin at me, then pushed salty wet hair out of his eyes. You're making me depressed, man, And I don't even get remotely sad, you know that. But I'm on the brink. The fucking brink, Dash. What's up with you? I cut my eyes away. Nothing, I mumbled. Bullshit, he shot back, sounding a second away from throwing a punch, and thus earning my eyes again. You've been moping around the past 2 days, barely speaking to anyone, including customers at work, who even after that shit went down 4 months ago, you still kept it professional and did your job, spoke to everybody who stopped in, and acted like you wanted to be there. Now you're barely doing that. If it keeps up, me or Cole are gonna have to start dropping lessons so we can hang around and make sure shit is getting sold. You saying you have to babysit me? I asked, straightening, then facing him head on. Might be me throwing the first punch. I was bigger than Jamie, a little thicker in the arms and shoulders, but he was quick like a fucking feral cat and the same height as me. It'd be a good matchup. Jamie didn't waver when I changed my stance and kept my gaze as he spoke. I'm saying something's up with you and it's different than what's been up with you the past 4 months. Shit, you were getting better. And I wasn't the only one noticing. Cole brought it up last week saying you were acting like the old Brian and you might be ready to paddle out soon. That's not fucking happening, I bit out. Yeah, I figured, he replied, arms crossing over his chest, still dripping water. Not that I agree with that decision, but I fucking get it. Great, glad you get it. I took another pull of my beer while Jamie stared at me, saying nothing for a solid 4 seconds. Probably a record for him. It's a girl, he stated, head cocked, still staring. I stared right back, not uttering a word. He smiled. Shit. Asshole in his fucking gut instinct. Never failed him in the water or on land. I should have stayed inside and kept on hitting redial. It's a woman, Jamie clarified, finger pointed at my face. You're fucked up over some pussy, that's what this is. Who is it? One of the girls you've shot with? Jaden? I bet it's Jaden. You've been seeing her? I glared at my idiot best friend. Do me a favor, stay off the site my dick is visible on. Whoa! His brows drew together as he leaned back. I'm strictly there for the lesbian love. Never seen your dick. Don't plan on seeing it. Videos are labeled, so thank fuck for that. Knew you shot with Jaden a couple weeks ago and put two and two together. That's all. It ain't Jaden. Ain't none of the ones on the site, I informed him, eyes narrowing to add, you call my girl pussy again, and I'll beat the shit out of you. His face relaxed. Damn. He blinked several times, a laugh crackling in his chest. You're hard up. Who is she? I exhaled slowly. Didn't see the point in keeping this shit to myself anymore. Not when I no longer had it. Think you know her, I said, setting my bottle on the rail. That girl you're always going to see at Whitecaps. Jamie stepped closer, halting me. You're fucking seeing legs? I'm talking about her friend, jackass. Back up. He backed up, but he did it looking ready to tear my flesh off if I didn't explain quick who I was specifically talking about, conclusively eliminating legs as an option. I wasn't the only one pining for someone. Girl's name is Sydney. She works with Tori. Lives with her, too. Who? Legs, I grated impatiently. Not her, Jamie snapped. Christ, I know her fucking name. Just because I don't call her by it doesn't mean I don't hear it every time she shoves it down my throat. I'm talking about yours. Which one is she? She just started a month ago. Red hair. Oh, yeah, okay. His mouth twitched. I know who she is. Bit nicer than her friend, though she kind of sucks at waitressing. Woman is constantly messing up my order. He lost the smile and studied me. How'd you meet her? You never go to Whitecaps. I hesitated answering and turned back to the water, took another swig of beer, this time finishing it off, swallowing, then held it over the railing and dropped it into the trash can we kept below for such purpose. I hesitated for one reason I wasn't sure I wanted to disclose. I was gone for a woman I'd never fucking met. Pathetic? Maybe. Did I give a fuck when that shit was kept personal? Not one damn bit. But I was about to blow the lid off and air it out, confide in my friend, who could very easily bust my balls over this indefinitely. I stayed silent for a minute, then decided to hell with it. Again, what the fuck did I have left to lose at this point? Let him talk shit. Let everyone. Like I said before, I no longer cared about consequences. So I told him everything about Sid. Every fucking thing. I didn't leave nothing out. And he listened, taking it all in while remaining silent and looking surprised at some of the shit I was saying, but also looking like he got some of it too. He understood. I knew that when I reached the end and Jamie finally spoke. "This girl was healing you," he offered quietly. I shrugged. She was. Didn't know how it was possible coming from a girl I couldn't even get to, but she was. "Know what you need, man." "Yeah? What's that?" He gripped my shoulder, attracting my attention then, and once he got it, he grinned with self-satisfaction brightening in his eyes. I glared. "What?" "Saturday night. We ain't got shit to do." He dropped his hand and shrugged. "Might as well throw a party." That was the last thing I needed. I don't want a bunch of assholes in my house. "You need a distraction, and a bunch of assholes is a good distraction," he argued. "We'll get some kegs, play some beer pong, I'll get laid a couple times," he smiled. "It'll be good for everybody." I shook my head. "Not in the mood for this," I said, giving him a hard look. "Seriously, man." Bastard wasn't hearing me. Knew he wasn't. He was grinning like an idiot and already planning shit in his head. I could tell. Once Jamie had his mind set on something, that was it. I was going to have a bunch of assholes in my house. "It's happening, Dash. Gonna be a fucking blast, too. You'll see." Jamie took a few steps backward in the direction of the slider, hit me with a chin jerk, then turned his back on me, speaking as he walked toward the house. "I'll get Cole on invite duty. He'll get the word out. BYOP. I shook my head. "Bring your own pussy." Fuck.
Chapter 12. Sydney. I felt the couch dip near my feet. Tori's hand found my ankle through the Christmas quilt covering me and gave it a squeeze. "Just wanted you to know," she began in a gentle voice, hand still wrapped around my ankle. "I'm seriously debating driving to Raleigh and setting your old house on fire with Marcus trapped inside. So speak now if you got any attachment to that house or the things in it, because once I light the match, I'm following through." Tori was reacting to the vegetative state I'd adopted since Thursday night, fetal position on a comfy surface, which I switched up every few hours, going between the couch and my bed, thinking it was stemming from the phone call with Marcus and thinking that because it was the only thing I informed her of when she crawled beside me in bed Friday morning and we had our talk. She still had no idea about Brian, our history, or our ending. So the blame for my depression was fully and solely on Marcus, and now she was getting creative in her act of retaliation against him. Yesterday morning, she wanted to chew him out on the phone. Last night, she thought about sending a hateful letter. Today, she wanted to burn him alive. Knowing Tori, it would only escalate from there. Though I wasn't sure how you could go bigger than killing someone and doing it painfully, but I was sure she'd come up with something. My lashes brushed the fibers of the quilt as I stayed blanketed and curled up on my side. "I don't think there's anything in that house I'd miss," I replied honestly. "Hell, I'd even light the match myself." "Just wait until next weekend before you kill him," I requested. "I'd like him to see my signature on those separation papers first, and they won't go out until Monday." I got the envelope in the mail today. Marcus overnighted the papers like he said he would, and I signed them without hesitation. We were now officially separated. If I had it in me, I'd do a little dance in celebration of that fact. I did not have it in me. "I can do that," Tori obliged. "I'm thinking we need to drag out his death, make it last as long as possible. I'd hate for Marcus to suffocate on the smoke before the flames hit him, so that'll require me going in there and putting some sort of a cover on his face, a mask or something like the military use. I bet my dad could get his hands on one for me. He's the best. Right? I just love him." Her hand gave me another squeeze. I closed my eyes and breathed deep. "I am seriously pissed off, hun. Nobody does this to my best girl," Tori added. the couch dipping more as she leaned closer, putting pressure on my feet. You were upset when you first got here, understandably so, but you were getting better, you know? You got better. Being away from Marcus and all his negativity, you were my silly, fun-loving Sid again, laughing and playing and smiling all the time, finding your happiness and living your life. Now that dipshit has taken my girl away from me again and I'm so mad, I'm actually planning out my last meal in prison. Cause I know I'm gonna get the death penalty after I take him out, but doesn't matter. I'm doing it. He deserves to pay and pay good. I mean, really, Sid, look at you. I haven't seen your head since Thursday night. You're constantly being swallowed up by a blanket. I'm fine. Lie. I was the farthest from fine I'd ever been. I knew it, and so did Tori. You'll be fine, she argued. I know you will. Being here, away from him, just like before, you'll be fine. It just might take a little longer, but you'll get there. Tori thought she had it all figured out, that I'd found my happiness on my own, and since I did it already, I could do it again. But that was just it. I hadn't found my happiness on my own. I had Tori, and yeah, being with her every day helped. My new job and the friends I'd met here, Shay and Callie, but I'd had someone else, too. And since Tori hated Marcus now to the point of death plotting, and most likely wouldn't have an issue with me feeling things for someone else, it was time I crawled out from behind my secret and shared it with her. I was numb enough. If she ended up hating me for a few days, I might not even feel it. I sat up and let the blanket slip down over my shoulder, gathering the cocoon I'd inhabited around my waist as I twisted on the couch and sat knee-bent, foot resting beneath my thigh and body angled to face her. She looked super pretty in a soft yellow strapless sundress and a red lip, her hair twisting loose in beach water waves. I was wearing leggings and a UNC hoodie, hadn't brushed my hair since yesterday, and my eyes were swollen from tears shed. Sweet blues roamed my face, shining upbeat. There you are, Tori said, smiling lightly. Forgot you had all that red under there. I quickly finger-combed my hair. God, I needed a mirror and a toothbrush. Tucking chunks of tangled red behind my ear and swiping my tongue over my teeth, I prepared myself for confession, taking a few deep breaths and reaching for Tori's hand. I need to tell you something, I began, watching her scoot closer and feeling her hand tighten around mine. I held on tighter, wet my lips, and got on with it. I've felt different over the past month. Happier, you saw it. I was just better in a lot of ways, I think, and I know a lot of that had to do with being here with you and meeting everyone at work. But there was something else helping me, getting me there a lot quicker than I was expecting, and making me feel things I haven't felt in a really long time. Maybe ever. Oh, God, Tori whispered, suddenly looking concerned. Are you hooked on something? What? She pulled my hand into her lap, jerking me forward. I watched this Lifetime movie a couple months ago about a woman who was down on her luck, recently divorced due to the loss of a child, and it being too much for her and her husband to handle together, they split up. Then one night, she went out to this club and got hooked on smack. I pulled my hand back, taking hers with me and keeping them between us. I am not hooked on smack, I hissed. I don't even know what that is. What is it? I think it's a combination of crack and crank, or it could be heroin. She moved to get off the couch. I'm gonna Google it. Wait a minute. I tugged her back down. My best friend was crazy. I am not taking any drugs. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. Tori studied me, soundless for a second. I've been talking to someone, I finally admitted. Like a therapist? She asked, eyes lighting up. That's great. I blinked heavily and sighed. No, like a man, I replied, watching her brows slowly knit together. I've been talking to this guy, and not in a billing your insurance type of way, okay? We've been sort of dating, exclusively on the phone, I guess. Just talking a lot, but it's done now. We're not anymore. It all ended Thursday night. Because he didn't want to know me. I fought tears, slumped sideways, and fell into the couch, resting my heavy head on the cushion. I miss him so much, I whispered. If Marcus hadn't eaten my heart, I'd swear it was breaking. Tori's mouth dropped open. You've been dating someone? She asked, shocked voice barely above a murmur. Who is it? And when did you have time to meet him? All you do is work. I wiped up my face with my sleeve. You're not mad at me? What? Why would I be mad at you? You were happy. My lip twitched. I loved this girl. Seriously. Tori dropped her head on the cushion beside her shoulder, mimicking my position, then continued on to say, And I'm sure whatever reason you had for keeping this to yourself was a good one, and not something I would be mad at you for. That being said, you owe me a month's worth of details, and you're not allowed to skip over anything. That means I get to hear everything, juicy stuff and all, starting with who this guy is and how you met. She had a point. I owed her a lot. And since I did the shitty thing by keeping this from her, the least I could do was share a few details, even the private ones. Remember that guy I accidentally dialed, thinking he was Wes? Her eyes widened. Him? I nodded. He texted me the next day, and it just went from there, quickly. Texting and talking every day, sometimes multiple times, for hours. You gotta be kidding me, she murmured. It was fast, but it was easy, I continued. Like, really easy. I could talk to him about anything. He knew about Marcus, I told him, and he was good about taking my mind off of it, making me laugh and stuff. And the things he would say to me, Tori, it was like he really cared about me, like he wanted me to be happy more than anything, and it just got to me, you know? I started really caring for him, thinking about him all the time, what he looked like, where he was, if he was thinking the same way about me. I know I had feelings for him, a lot of feelings, especially after we started doing stuff on the phone together. I gave her a look then, indicating my meaning, and it came across loud and clear, Tori's mouth pinching together thinly and her cheeks flushing. It was sudden and probably too fast, I know it was, which is why I kept it from you. But I really wanted to know him, like, know him. Talk to him in person and do all the other stuff we were already doing, but really do it. More than anything, I wanted that. More than I wanted to patch things over with Marcus. I swallowed thickly, eyes lowering. But Brian didn't. Told me so Thursday night. Said he didn't want to know me. That's the last time we spoke. He actually said that to you? That he didn't want to know you? He said those words? Yep. Did he have a reason? She asked, tugging my hand a little and raising my eyes. When I caught hers, I replied, Did he need one? She frowned. He didn't. Tori knew it, and so did I. Having a reason wouldn't change anything. It could be the noblest reason on earth, and it wouldn't lessen the pain I was feeling or make any of this better. Besides, whatever it was, if Brian had something driving his decision to keep me out, it still had everything to do with me. He didn't want to know me. Tears filled my eyes as I mumbled, I really, really liked him, Tori. Oh, hon, I'm sorry. She gave my hand a squeeze. I really wish you would have told me. I never would have thought anything making you that happy would have been wrong or too fast. Not ever, okay? I gave her a weak smile, sniffling. That being said, you know how crazy this is, right? I mean, aside from the fact that you've been engaging in phone sex with a man you've never met before, you totally asked him during that first conversation if he liked to get fucked hard and deep, not to mention requesting you take the dildo out of his mouth you figured he was sucking on, and he still wanted to talk to you again. Her eyes bugged. You must have really made an impression, Sid. I had. In hindsight, I believed Brian thought I was amusing, even though I was going for total badass bitch that night, one who shouldn't be messed with. Tori thought I was badass, so I felt good about it. I don't think he'd been talked to like that before, I offered. I'm guessing it intrigued him? I don't think a lot of men have been talked to like that before, Tori countered. Seriously, you were scary. She twisted her body a little until her back was touching the cushion. Eyes directed at the bay window, she let out a heavy breath and kept hold of my hand, resting the pair of hours between us. "He made you my Sid again," she murmured. I nodded. Even though she wasn't looking at me, curled my fingers around the back of her hand and tightened my hold. "Since we're sharing stuff, I guess I should share with you a decision I made yesterday that I kept to myself because you were so sad over Marcus," which Tori turned her head and looked at me. "I'm guessing now your sadness might have had more to do with the other guy and not the man I've been plotting to kill?" "Probably," I answered, blinking tears away. "Definitely." My marriage was over, yet I was mourning the loss of Brian's voice more than my united and holy matrimony relationship. He had the best voice. Hands down, best I'd ever heard. And he chose the most perfect words to manipulate with it. "Should have told me," Tori stressed. "I could have been plotting 2 murders and saved myself the time. Now I have a dilemma on my hands because I kind of like the other guy, seeing as he gave me back the old you, and thus has potential. Marcus never had any potential, so his death is an easy choice." I smiled faintly, watching her turn away. "What's the decision?" I asked her. "Still deciding it," she answered. "Sheesh, give me at least 5 minutes. "Not that." I tapped our conjoined hands against her thigh. "The one you decided yesterday." "Oh," she cleared her throat, twisting the fingers of her free hand in the hem of her dress. Uh-oh. Tori was anxious. This was big. It had to be. Tori never showed signs of nervousness, not even in her pageant days. And my assumption was only confirmed when she played it down with the first thing out of her mouth. "Well, it's really not a huge deal or anything. I was just doing a little thinking regarding my no more boys rule, and thinking that was probably a hasty decision considering my state at the time, and, Wes isn't all boys. He is one horrible, worthless piece of shit, but does not sum up the entirety of the male race, even though there are several others who fall into that category, Marcus included. Also that kid Jace I was talking to in 7th grade who dumped me at the Valentine's Day dance. I'm sure he's still a winner." I pulled my lips between my teeth and let Tori continue on without any interruption, even though I was on the brink of giggles. "Anyway, my point is, I've gone about a month without any boys, and I miss them. My girl parts really miss them, and it's about time I did something about it." "You're going to start dating again?" I asked, watching her head snap my way. "Dating? No, I'm just talking about getting laid." Tori smiled a little, appearing excited. "And I've already picked out Lucky Bachelor #1.
"Who?"
"Jamie McCade."
"What?"
I peeled away from the couch. "Hello, you hate that guy, remember? He doesn't respect love. I've been screwing up his order for weeks." Not to mention getting stitched to do god-awful things to his food, things I didn't ask about because I was almost too afraid he'd take me out to eliminate any possible incriminating evidence, linking him to whatever illness Jamie contracted after eating at Whitecaps. Now Tori wanted to fuck him?
"I know, but he's stupid gorgeous, Sid. The hair, the dimples, that look he had on his face slicing Wes's tires that night, and not giving a damn about going down for it."
I kept my mouth shut. Couldn't really argue with any of that. Jamie had a really good look that night. Tori's phone started ringing in the distance. It sounded like it was coming from the kitchen. "And besides," she continued, standing from the couch and turning to face me, "I am using him for sex. I will have the upper hand the entire time, and when it is over, I'll never look at his stupidly gorgeous face again. One and done. That's all I need." She moved around the couch quickly, darting in the direction of the kitchen. One and done? With the XJ crew model who yielded a switchblade like a greaser and defended Tori's honor? Yeah, I wasn't holding my breath. "I hope you know what you're doing," I shouted out, then collapsed back on the couch, slid down onto my hip with my knees pulling up and my arm bent, head resting on the inside of my bicep. I started pulling up the quilt, getting ready to return to my former cocooned position, when Tori's animated shriek coming from behind yanked me upright again, head spinning around so I could watch her strut back into the living room with her phone in her hand and a brilliant smile on her face. "Looks like it's gonna happen a lot sooner than I thought," she stated, twirling and fanning out her dress. "What in the world?" "Huh?" Tori wiggled the hand holding her phone in front of her and stepped closer. That was Shay. She got word on a massive party Jamie is having at his beach house, which I've heard is ridiculous. Not that I gave a damn about it before, but since I'm planning on betting him and he's giving me an opportunity to make that happen tonight, I give a damn about seeing it now, and you're going. I shook my head and pulled the quilt around me. I'm really not in the mood for a party, Tori. I wasn't in the mood for anything besides this quilt and a comfy surface I could burrow into. She tilted her head and dropped her hand. I need my wing, woman, hun. No, you don't, I argued. Jamie will totally want to have sex with you the second you walk in his house. You won't even have to speak. She pressed her hands together in a praying position the best she could, given she still had hold of her phone, stuck her bottom lip out, and pleaded. Please, you're my best girl. I need you. I wasn't budging. Tori saw it. I drew the quilt over my head, making it so my face was the only thing showing, and blinked at her. Tori sighed and looked at the ground beside the couch. Okay, but you're going to be missing out on seeing Shay and Stitch together for the first time outside of work. What? Her eyes sliced to mine. Stitch and Shay are making their debut appearance together as a couple at this thing? I asked, building height on my knees and letting the quilt slide down my back. They weren't a couple. Not officially, and if you asked Shay or had the nerve to ask Stitch, she denied it and he ignored you. But Callie, Tori, and myself all knew better. They were totally into each other. Sort of, Tori replied, her shoulder lifting with a jerk. Shay invited him and she's hoping he shows. I'm thinking since this is the first time she's invited him to anything, he's probably been chomping at the bit waiting for such an invite, he's gonna show. My decision was made. I knew I couldn't miss an opportunity like this for the world. I sprung from the couch and let the quilt fall to the floor. Okay, I'm in, but I'm not changing, I told Tori, tugging on the bottom of my hoodie. I'm not going to impress anybody, so I don't see the point. She grinned big. You look super cute and comfy in that, so I agree, don't change. Great. But maybe comb your hair a little? She cringed through her suggestion. It looks like rats were building a nest in the back. My eyes widened as I reached back and felt the tangled mess Tori was referring to. I could barely feel my scalp. Needless to say, I combed my hair before we left for the party. Tori was right. Jamie's beach house was ridiculous, at least from what I could tell from the outside. It had to be the size of at least three of her houses, and in my eyes, Tori always had the best of the best. This was crazy big, and absolutely stunning. Two stories and right off the beach, so close you could hear the waves crashing, it was like having your ear pressed to a seashell. The house looked front cover of a magazine worthy or something you'd rent for the weekend with 20 of your friends. A gorgeous wraparound porch made of white worn wood seemed to be the home for multiple multicolored surfboards, all propped against aged earthy green siding, and above it, another porch for the second level, this one acting more like a deck for the front of the house. I couldn't imagine having my own deck access from my bedroom. I was just thrilled to have a window facing the ocean. The driveway was filled with vehicles, and so was the yard, for that matter. People had pulled right off the road and onto Jamie's half-sand, half-grass terrain, including Tori, who drove us. I followed her up the front steps and inside, the door swinging open freely. Bodies filled the wide-open entryway. The house somehow appeared bigger on the inside, with rooms off to the right and left, one looking like an office I imagined didn't see much use, and the other possibly a formal dining room, except in place of a standard table, a pool table sat in the middle of the floor. A game was going on while girls in bikini tops and jean cutoffs danced to some bass-heavy tune off to the side, dropping low and popping their hips. I was slightly overdressed in my hoodie and leggings, but it didn't matter. I wasn't planning on dropping low or popping anything. Straight ahead was an extra-wide staircase leading up to the second level. You could walk around it and enter another part of the house, which was the direction Tori was headed as I followed close behind her. Is Shay here yet? I yelled over the music as we walked past a speaker, tugging on Tori's wrist. She texted when we got here. Stitch stood her up, so she isn't coming. I halted in the hallway, which in the process halted her.
You got a text before we left the house, not 5 seconds ago, I pointed out through a hiss.
Tori turned her head to look at me. Same difference, she said, smiling a little.
Damn it. Tori.
God, I could kill her. She knew I didn't want to come to this. Tori twisted her arm, broke out of my hold, only to grab my elbow and give it a jerk, pulling me behind.
Come on, Sid. You needed to get out of the house anyway. You were starting to attach to the furniture.
I was not, I snapped, but I did it weakly. I kind of was. Or at least I was on my way to attaching to the Christmas quilt. I was starting to drag that thing around everywhere like Linus with his blanket. We moved around the staircase and stepped into a large room that seemed to span the length of the house, with floor-to-ceiling windows giving view to another deck that also ran the length. A huge open kitchen was off to the left, one I was certain Martha Stewart would cut a bitch for. It was gorgeous even from a distance. I thought I spotted two ovens, before my eyes moved through the rest of the room, occupied mostly by a large seating area. A comfy-looking sectional and two recliners facing a giant flat-screen TV mounted above a fireplace. I was calculating how rude it would seem if I curled up on that sectional and stayed there the rest of the night when Tori nudged me with her elbow, grabbing my attention.
There he is, she said.
I followed her eyes across the room. Jamie was standing at a rectangular table littered with red plastic cups, a game of beer pong going on, which he appeared to be participating in. He was focused on it, his arm around the waist of a scantily dressed blonde, all tits and ass hanging out of a bikini, no shorts, who was up on her toes pressing kisses to his neck. Or at least she was. Eyes lifting from the game, Jamie spotted Tori a second after I spotted him, released the neck kisser like she was on fire, and grabbed a cup before moving purposely through the crowd. I might as well have been attached to a piece of furniture at that point. He didn't notice my presence at all.
What up, legs?
He greeted Tori with a sexy, all-knowing smile, hair tousled, and a cigarette tucked behind his ear, coming to a stop when he entered her personal space.
Surprised you're here. Thought you hated me, babe.
Tori plucked the cup out of his hand, brought it to her mouth, and downed it, thrusting it against his chest when she was finished and licking the residue off her lips. I do, she replied, but she said it over her shoulder as she walked away and in the direction of the kitchen, giving Jamie eyes that screamed, come and get me, with hips swaying heavily.
Fuck yeah,
he mumbled, and was about to follow her when someone yelled behind me, turning his head and then on his own lowering it, spotting me for the first time. His sexy smile turned soft and slow lip curling, like something was jogging his memory. I waved and attempted a smile, though I was sure it came out looking more like a quirky frown. I wasn't much for smiling these days.
It's you,
he said, eyes roaming my face.
Sydney, right?
I gave him an odd look. Idiot. I waited on Jamie every time he came into Whitecaps because Tori refused to do it, and every single time I went through my standard greeting, politely introducing myself, yet here he was, acting like I hadn't told him my name at least 10 times before. Why were pretty boys so stupid?
Yeah,
I replied, awkwardly cutting my eyes away because he was now full on staring.
Nice house, seems like a lot for just one person. I have a roommate,
he replied, undisclosed humor in his voice.
You should meet him. He's around here somewhere, sulking over some girl he's completely fucking gone for. Messed up big with her, and now he's miserable, killing the mood and shit.
Why was he telling me that? What did I care about his roommate's relationship issues? Idiot.
Bet you could cheer him up,
he added. I cut my eyes back to Jamie. He was still smiling, doing it more obvious now. Bet I could cheer him up? Yeah, I knew exactly what that meant. Random sex with a stranger was the last thing on my mind. I shoved my hands into the front pockets of my hoodie and twisted my fingers together. I think I need a drink, I said, wetting my lips. Alcohol, the cure of all heartaches. Jamie held his arm out and, with his other hand holding the empty cup, directed me toward the kitchen with it pressed to my lower back.
Help yourself. I'll be busy with legs the rest of the night, so if you need anything, like I said...
He smiled down at me.
Find my roommate.
Right, thanks. I moved into the kitchen and over to the island, where every combination of girly beverage was on display. Daiquiri mix in a blender, wine coolers, wine, jello shooters. I grabbed a cup and filled it with the cream-colored slush I assumed was piña colada-flavored and took a sip, confirming that while my eyes scanned for Tori. She was missing. So was Jamie. I had a feeling he had either found her and they were off doing something together, naked and heavy breathing, or he was still trying to find her and hadn't gotten to his bedroom yet, which I imagined was where she was waiting, naked and on the verge of heavy breathing. I cringed when someone cranked up the music. The room was noisy without the extra background effects. Over the music, people were hollering and squealing, some were even singing along to song lyrics, and all of it was pressing on my brain and making my eyes hurt. I moved to the slider and stepped outside onto the deck. It was quieter and nowhere near as crowded as the inside of the house. A small group of people were sitting on lounge chairs and smoking. They were talking, but they weren't hollering, so my head was already thanking me. Below, I could hear voices of people walking to and from the beach, which I got a better view of when I moved to the railing and looked out. The view was beautiful. Salt water seasoned the air, and the shades of the setting sun painted the water in oranges and muddied reds. I'd been in Dogwood a month and had been down to the ocean only once. Insane, right? I lived at the beach and I wasn't experiencing it. It hadn't been a priority, and honestly, I didn't have a lot of free time on my hands. When I wasn't picking up shifts at Whitecaps, I was talking on the phone to Brian, shut up in my room or doing it lying on the couch if Tori wasn't home. Now I wasn't shut up in my room or lying on the couch, quilt covered and heart shattered. I was no longer talking on the phone to Brian, and I wanted to see the ocean. I wanted to feel the sand beneath my feet and skim the waves with my hand. I had tons of free time tonight while Tori got laid. Might as well make the most of it. I took the stairs down a level and stepped out beneath the deck. A couple was sitting on a hammock, going at it like their boat was sinking, sloppy suctioning kisses and need-filled moans spilling into the air. There had to be a handful of empty rooms in that house. They couldn't pick one and save me the surround sound. Gross. I followed the sand-covered path down the beach, taking small sips of my daiquiri as I went. Deep voices grew louder the closer I got to the water. I wasn't paying much attention to them. I was looking ahead and forward to feeling the temperature of the ocean and maybe even finding a couple of pretty shells when the voices grew loud enough to hear clearly. Very clearly. That's when it happened. I stopped, feet frozen and ears alert, when one of the voices not only grew loud enough to focus on, but also registered in my mind as a voice I'd possibly heard before.
Don't know why I gotta keep repeating myself. It wasn't like that, the man said, sounding irritated. She was sweet and good to talk to, funny and cute about shit. Real cute. The fact that she was also a stunner didn't surprise me. I heard it in her voice. But for the last fucking time, and I mean this, I'm not saying it again, that's not what got me. I was fucked before I even saw her picture.
You saying you were gone for a girl you never fucking met, Brian?
Not possible, the other guy replied.
I sucked in a breath. Brian. A phantom heartbeat fluttered in my chest. No way. With gentle steps, I moved closer to the voices, reached the end of the path, and peeked around an overgrown bush, spotting the two men standing on the beach. I watched the one guy, taller than the other, who had his back to me, cross his arms over his chest and say to his friend,
"Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You talk to Sydney one fucking time and you'll know where I'm coming from. It was that fucking good."
I squeaked then. Not a gasp, but a squeak I tried to conceal with a quick hand to my mouth, cup hitting the sand, but it was too late. They both heard it. Two pairs of eyes sliced in my direction. I stared back at the one pair coming from the one voice I knew. In my blood and my bones and the breath filling me, I knew that voice and the man it belonged to. He stared back, eyes narrowing to focus better, focusing enough to make me out where I stood, then going round and filling with surprise. Pain lanced through me. I wanted to run. To him or away, I didn't know which urge was stronger, and it felt like I was being pulled in both directions by forces I couldn't fight, so I stood there, staring back as my hand uncovered my mouth and skimmed my throat. Brian? He was moving before I spoke, long legs closing in fast, and before I could blink, he was right in front of me, close enough to smell and feel if my eyes were closed, but I definitely couldn't test that theory right now. I stared unconsciously into his face, tilting my head back to do so and taking in every inch of him. Dark hair buzzed close to his scalp, thick eyebrows and deep green eyes, several days' worth of stubble coating his jaw, which appeared sharp beneath it, and full, perfect lips parted as he breathed slow and heavily. Beautiful. I knew he was. "Oh my God," I whispered. "It's you." He blinked, breath shuddering. "You recognize me?" he asked. I bit my lip to suppress a moan because, God, that voice! It melted my insides when it sweetly assaulted my ears and turned my bones to jelly. It always had, but now, seeing the man behind it and the mouth responsible for it, watching it shape and twist those words so perfectly, I was done. Done. Toast. A goner. I blinked when he stepped closer. "Sid," he pressed, eyes desperate as they searched mine. "Holy shit, are you the girl?" The other man moved beside us and slapped his hand against Brian's back, who was keeping his eyes focused on me. I looked to the friend and recognized Exhibit A from Whitecaps, who I now knew went by Cole. I answered. I was in shock. Was he expecting me to speak? Cole grinned. "Small world," he chuckled, looking between us. "Small fucking world. I'll leave you two alone since you probably have a lot to talk about." He gave me a wink, then shuffled past me and disappeared down the path, doing just that, leaving us alone. I was alone with Brian. Oh, God. Oh, God. Now what? I looked up and met pleading greens, filled with desperation I could feel against my skin. Questions and confusion swirled in my brain. My stomach was doing nothing but flips and excited little twists. It was Brian. My body knew Brian, and it was acting up impulsively, reacting to that smooth, familiar voice and more. And when he reached out and held my face, thumbs sweeping over my cheek as his lips whispered, "Wild," soft and ache-filled, I stopped thinking and feeling altogether and sprang, launching myself at him and into his arms, which curled instantly around me, drawing me nearer and higher until our mouths met in a kiss that hurt and healed so deeply my soul cried out. Beautiful. Knew it would be. He kissed hard and I kissed harder, exploring every inch of his mouth as I whimpered with moan-filled breaths that vibrated with hunger. Brian was a great kisser. The best kisser, sure and practiced, and even though he was only the third guy I'd kissed in my entire 24 years of life, I was certain no lips matched up to this pair. No tongue. No teeth, knowing expertly when to nip and drag and sink until I cried out. Strong hands moved down my back to my ass and gripped, lifting me until my legs wrapped around his waist and I felt him there, hard and heavy. "Please," I whispered across his mouth. Brian groaned, head tilting to kiss me deeper. One hand settled on my ass and dug in so hard I thought he might shred my leggings, while the other pushed through my hair, twisted into a grip, and held on at the base of my neck, his legs carrying us somewhere quickly while I raked my nails over his scalp and across his shoulders through his tee. The light changed above us. I felt it on my eyelids, and opening them, I saw we were now under a pier, hidden from sight and more alone than we were a minute ago. "We should talk," Brian suggested, pressing me against a post with lips grazing my jaw and lower, where he sucked openly on my neck. "We will," I answered, and maybe it was the assurance I gave that we would have something after we fucked, because that was absolutely what was about to happen. We both knew it, and it was enough of a promise to pacify and allow him to focus on latching his mouth back onto mine and using it to kiss instead of suggest differently. Or maybe he felt as crazy as I did in that moment, wild in every sense of the word, and he couldn't stand another second of missing my taste, setting me on my feet as our hands ripped and tugged and stripped each other of clothing, then pressed and felt, touching everywhere for the first time. Breasts, hips, chest, waist, ass. We were frantic. God, I moaned, my head dropping back as he sucked on my nipple and around it, wetting my entire breast before moving to the other and teasing it unhurriedly with his tongue. His hand moved surely between my legs, slowly finger-fucking me, and I felt his grin against my neck when I started grinding my hips, down and out, chasing something I wasn't sure I wanted to catch yet. This felt too good, too perfect to end, but it got better the closer I got, the faster I moved, and his hand, God, his hand was so much better than my hand, it was almost unfair. Want you this gone when I fuck you, Brian said against my ear, sliding his thumb over my clit until I shook and gripped at his shoulders. The whole time, so close I can feel your heartbeat right here like I do now. Sweet Jesus, I was going to pass out. Okay, I breathed, licking my lips anxiously. Not a problem, but can we get to the fucking now? He leaned back to look at me, eyes heavy and heated and lowering to my mouth. I should get something, he said, and I knew he was talking about a condom. My legs tensed. I shook my head. I was fucking crazy. Don't, I want to feel you. It's okay. I felt his body stiffen. Fuck, he rasped, looking into my eyes again. You have any idea what you fucking do to me, Wild? Do you even have a clue? I think so. My breath caught with a moan when Brian moved his hand out from between my legs to the back of my thigh, where he gripped and lifted, sliding his hold to my knee as it wrapped around his hip. He slid closer, dipped until I felt his cock glide through my wet, and waited. What, babe? Finish telling me. I bit my lip. God, he was right there, teasing me, killing me, owning me. Wild, he urged. The tip of his cock pressed hard against my clit. I opened my mouth with a gasp and squirmed in his arms. I make you insane, I told him, quietly, shyly, as my body did the opposite and pushed out, silently begging for it. Yeah, he murmured, low and dark in his throat. He kissed the corner of my mouth, his breath hot and wanting when he asked, Know why you know? I did. I knew, but I still probed. Why? Brian moved his hand between us, positioned his cock, and slid in slowly, stretching me on a groan as my mouth fell open and my body shook in pure, perfect bliss. Oh, fuck, I whimpered. 'Cause I make you insane, too, he answered finally, the answer I knew already in my heart, then pushed in the rest of the way and did it roughly, jarring my body and filling me with every inch of him, sliding out, then slamming back in over and over. It was all I needed. It was everything I needed. It was beautiful. It was us. And he was mine. Oh, God, yes, fuck me, I cried out, grabbing onto his face and pulling it to me so I could suck that sweet, full bottom lip into my mouth, my other leg hitching up to his waist on its own, but then being held there when he clutched onto it and rammed me hard and fast, driving my back into the post. The wood scratched and burned my skin, but I didn't care, and honestly, it felt good. Everything felt good. Every throb, every pull, every pinch or bite of flesh. I'd never been fucked like this, pounded into with such raw, shocking, beautiful force. My teeth chattered, and pieces of my soul broke off, reaching out and seeking the very person I was clinging to. Plus, Brian was bigger than Marcus, thicker and longer by what felt like a mile. I wasn't used to someone this size, but I was so wet and hot and ready, he made sure of that, and with each thrust I grew not only accustomed to Brian's cock, but tighter around him, building to that perfect point of madness without any trying on my part. Everything he gave, I took, and I did it begging. I was his girl. "More," I whimpered. "Please, please, oh God, please." I took his thrusts and his hands bruising as he fucked harder, giving me it all. Out, in, harder, harder, God. My breath hitched. "Fuck, you're right there, wild," Brian said, brushing my hair out of my face and kissing me deep. "I've got you," he whispered. "I've had you, Sid, let go." He had me. Even when he was Wes, he had me. One last swipe of my tongue against Brian's, and I cried out, head snapping back and eyes rolling, every muscle in my body tightening as I came apart and exploded in his arms, feeling weighted and weightless at the same time. Feeling everything, all because it was Brian and he was giving it to me. And I fell, knowing he was catching me. There wasn't anything more beautiful than that. Him and me. He kept it up, hips pumping faster and his noises growing louder and deeper as my world drifted back together and I opened my eyes. I knew Brian was close. I could feel it in the way his breathing changed against my cheek and his hands and fingers on my skin repositioned, then gripped, readying to pull back and out. "Don't," I pleaded, tightening my legs around his waist and my arms around his neck. Brian leaned back, straining. "I'm gonna come." "I know, do it." His eyes flashed. Crazy. Beautiful. Gone. I pulled him back and kissed him as he poured himself inside me, stilling as deep as he could go and holding it there, jerking between my legs and moaning into my mouth, then changing the kiss to something soft and sweet and quiet. No tongue, only lips and panting breaths. Something like a first kiss. He gave it to me slow and shy, maybe knowing deep down I'd imagined this moment with him 1,000 times and 1,000 different ways in my head and wanting to give that to me, or maybe needing it himself. It didn't matter, and I didn't ask because it was perfect. And you don't question perfect moments. You let them happen. So I did. Only when the kiss broke naturally did I move my hand to his cheek and pull back an inch, looking into his eyes. He looked back. We stared, breaths catching and eyes capturing. "Hey," I said shakily. He licked his lips. "Hey, it's so good to meet you." I closed my eyes at how stupid that sounded. Officially anyway. Sorry, that was dumb. His chest shook with a soundless chuckle. "Nah, it was cute," he said, his arms giving me a squeeze. I opened my eyes and smiled. "I can't believe we're at the same party." I laughed a little. "Seriously, what are the odds? It's crazy enough you're in Dogwood."
"I live here."
I tilted my head.
"Here? Dogwood?"
He lifted me off his cock and lowered me to my feet, saying,
"Here, this house, I live here."
I blinked up at him.
"Holy. You're Jamie's roommate?" I asked.
Oh my God, he knew. That's why he told me to go find Brian. He knew I was the girl his roommate was messed up over. I could kill him and hug him for not saying anything. I wasn't sure I would have reacted to seeing Brian the same way I did if I'd have known he was here before I found out on my own. And I really liked the reaction I had and what followed. Brian bent down and snatched up our clothes, handing me my items before shaking the sand off his shorts.
"Yeah,"
he answered, looking into my face to state,
"and you don't recognize me."
It took me a second to understand what he was saying as I stepped into my panties and slid them up my legs while he pulled on his boxers and shorts. Then I remembered his question before we attacked each other. A question I didn't really think about at the time, but now that I was thinking about it, I got what he was asking and why he was asking it. It hit me.
"It was you,"
I said quietly, watching his chest puff out with an inhale and his body grow stiff. "At the Corvette that day, when Jamie sliced those tires, it was you by his Jeep, wasn't it? I saw you." Brian visibly relaxed, then nodded.
Did you know it was me?
Not until you called me that night,
he replied, pulling his shirt over his head.
Couldn't fucking believe it either.
His eyes moved between the pants in my one hand and my bra and hoodie in the other, then rose to mine.
You gonna get dressed?
Why didn't you say anything if you knew it was me? I questioned, keeping hold of my clothes instead of putting them on. And why did you get so angry when I sent you that photo? You knew I was here. You'd sort of seen me already. He scrubbed a hand down his face. I stepped closer, getting ready to ask something else or plead for an answer, when he spoke, head down and voice quiet. And what he said changed everything.
Gone for you fast, Wild,
he began.
Can't explain it. Don't know how it happened or what it was about you specifically that got to me. But you fucking got to me, babe, and it was good. Best I'd felt in a long time, maybe ever. Didn't want to risk anything messing that kind of perfection up. It was too good the way we had it. Your voice in my ear, what you'd give me every time we spoke. I was living for that.
Oh, God. I was wrong. His reason totally mattered, and I completely understood it. He lifted his head to look at me. I could barely see him. My eyes were flooding fast with emotion, but I heard and registered his sudden movement, then felt his hand on my face and the other on my hip, pulling me close.
Wild,
he whispered, thumb catching a tear.
It was perfect,
I cried out, agreeing, letting it all go and clutching at him with my head tipping forward and dropping on his chest.
I don't know how either, Brian. I don't understand what it was about you, but since that first day, that first text you sent me, it was perfect and everything I needed, and you knew.
I lifted my head to look at him. You just knew the right things to say and the right times to call. You healed me. You didn't know it, but you did.
You were healing me too, babe.
Oh, God. I started crying harder. His lips touched the top of my head and his breath fluttered as he chuckled.
Healing me is a good thing, Sid. You know that, right?
I know, I whispered between sniffles.
Then why are you crying?
Because that's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me, I explained, blinking away my tears. And I'm mostly naked and feeling vulnerable right now. Plus, we've just had the best sex of my life and I'm still processing all of that. And also, I got on my toes and pressed closer to stress. I've just really, really missed you. This is a lot to handle all at once. His mouth jerked with a smile.
Missed you too, he said. Past 2 days have been hell.
I nodded in agreement, grabbed his face with both of my hands, inhaled deep, then spoke. I learned after losing my brother that you shouldn't wait to tell someone something you're really feeling, that you never know how much time you have with them, and in a second, they could be gone and you regret everything you never told them. His eyes held mine, sure and steady. He didn't even blink. I swallowed and continued on. That being said, I know what happened between us happened fast, and it happened in a way neither one of us can explain, and at the start of it, I wasn't even legally separated from my husband. His jaw flexed under my palm. Which, by the way, has changed, I assured him. I signed the papers today, and they're going out Monday. In the eyes of the law, I am now legally separated and free of Marcus.
That's good, babe, he told me.
Thank you, I agree, I said, pulling my bottom lip into my mouth and sucking on it while I stared up at him. He quirked an eyebrow.
Thought you were leading up to telling me something with that speech, Sid.
I released my lip. I was. I'm just wondering if now is the best time to say it.
This ain't a good time.
I looked down at myself, then back up at him. Well, I am naked. Mostly. I glared at his tear-soaked shirt, then wiped my hand across his chest, hoping the friction would dry it while I muttered, and I totally cried all over you, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Hand stilling, I lifted my head and tilted it.
Hmm?
He smiled.
Nothing.
He bent and gave me a soft kiss.
You won't? I'll say it.
I gasped against his mouth, watched him lean back an inch, and slid my other hand to his chest to join the one I already had pressing there.
Told you I was gone for you, Brian started. Think you know what that meant. Think you might be feeling me the same way, and that's what you were wanting to tell me.
He ran his thumb along my jaw down to my neck.
Am I right?
I nodded. Yes.
Good, he said, smiling. That's ours, Wild. What we have, how we build on it, and I don't give a fuck if it makes sense or not. It was fast, but I don't care. People might not get it like we do, but again,
he dipped closer.
I do not fucking care. What I do care about is you, everything that involves you, and right now, getting you covered up enough so I can get you inside to my room and into my bed where I've dreamed about getting you. And straight up, Sid, in case you didn't know, I've dreamed about it a lot.
My eyes were round, had been since Brian said what he had was ours. I liked knowing something was ours. I liked it a lot. I also was as anxious as he was to get me into his bed. I've dreamed about it too, I admitted softly, watching his smile reappear. It was beautiful, and something I wanted to stare at and study for hours, but first I needed to put on pants. I went about doing that and doing it quickly, letting Brian help me when he insisted on sliding my leggings up and over my ass, taking that hands-free moment to wipe at my face with my hoodie sleeve before slipping my bra on, Brian also helping with that, and finally pulling my hoodie over my head. I tugged awkwardly at the hood strings as I stepped into my flip-flops. I wasn't coming here to impress anyone, so I just wore this, I told Brian, feeling the need to explain my wardrobe selection. I normally dress a little nicer. He finished tying his shoe, stood, and looked me over, slow and purposefully.
You're beautiful, he said,
green eyes sweet and filled with honesty. I really didn't want to, but damn it, I couldn't help it. Head falling into my hands, I burst into tears again. His arms curled around me and drew me close as his lips pressed to my hair.
Didn't know my girl was so sensitive to compliments, he said,
laughter touching his voice. His girl. My chest warmed as it continued vibrating with my cries. I took several minutes to collect myself, wrapped up in Brian's arms while I did it. Then I let my boy lead me back to the party.
Chapter 13. Brian. I walked with Sydney tucked against my side down the sandy path that led to the house, my arm over her shoulder, keeping her close, and her arm around my waist, pressing closer. Even when we took the stairs to get up to the deck, we stayed like that. I wasn't pulling away, and neither was she. I'd waited too damn long for this moment. Way too damn long. And I never thought I'd get it. Knowing that, I held on tighter. Nothing else mattered but this girl, nothing, and I was planning on keeping her by my side for as long as I could. I'd been close to beating the shit out of Jamie for going through with tonight. So close I had to step outside, get away from all the motherfuckers filling my house and get some air, hoping to do it alone, but gaining Cole's attention when I slipped out and getting locked into a conversation on the beach I didn't fucking feel like having. I just wanted to be left alone, so I caved. Figured telling him would get him off my back. Also figured I could talk about Sid, brief as fuck, then drop it. I wouldn't think about her again the rest of the night. I was delusional. And she was there, right fucking there, listening and looking at me, really looking at me, and I didn't know what she was seeing, Dash or me. She wasn't speaking, and I had no idea how to interpret that. Wild typically spoke a lot. Then when I was close to losing my fucking mind, she launched into my arms, giving me that sweet mouth and wild pussy, and I took it. All of it. I was gone for this girl before I came inside her. Now I didn't know what the fuck I was, but it was more than gone. Way past it. There was no going back to what we had before. Then we talked, and even that surprised me. I wasn't sure how it was all going to go down, but this was Sid, and she deserved answers. Knew she'd want to know my why, and I didn't want to hurt her. I would never fucking hurt her. I'd die first. That's how far past gone I was. And her knowing what I'd been doing before we had whatever the fuck it was we had could hurt her, in some way or another. So I gave her my why, and it was nothing short of the truth. I just held on to the one piece she didn't need to feel. I did it to protect her. She didn't need to know that ugly, and I was done with it. All of it. I'd make good of that as soon as I could. And maybe one day I could tell her everything, but I needed this to be solid first. I needed to make sure I had Sid in a place where, when I did tell her, she'd understand why I did it. Getting there might take a while, but I wouldn't keep this from her forever. She was my girl, and this was the craziest shit I'd ever felt. The deck was vacant, no assholes I had to deal with, so we moved together to the slider. I opened it and eased Sid inside with my hand on her back, stepped in behind her, closed the door, then threw my arm back over her shoulder and pulled her close, looking above her head and scanning the packed room to yell, "Party's over! Everyone get the fuck out!" Wide eyes hit me, some annoyed, some looking startled, those belonging to the chicks, then shifting quickly to annoyed. I wasn't playing. If every single one of these pricks didn't make their way out of my house in a minute, I'd be removing bodies myself. Someone cut off the music. Muffled voices moved about the room. "Brian," Sydney whispered, looking up and fighting a smile with her hand pressing on my stomach. "That's kind of rude." "Don't care," I replied flatly. "Want to get you alone, and I'm not doing it with these motherfuckers hanging around. They need to go." She thought that was some sweet shit, too. I saw it. The way she melted closer and her hazel eyes got soft. Then with her lips pinched together, she turned to face the crowd, got up on her toes and hollered over the commotion. "Thank you so much for coming. We loved having you." Some of the annoyed eyes stayed annoyed. Others turned amused, those belonging to the chicks. "Jesus," I mumbled through a laugh, then grabbed her chin, tilted her head back and kissed her, starting sweet with that too, but then feeling her tongue on my lip, hot and ready, that feeling shooting straight to my dick and forcing me to take it dirty, my tongue sliding across hers and into her mouth, and my hands gripping at her with impatience, roaming down her spine to the top of her peach-shaped ass, where they held back from going lower and shook. She moaned around my tongue and found my skin beneath my shirt, gripping my hips with her warm fingers. Hun, there's a boy attached to your face." We both pulled away, Sid panting for breath before she turned to the voice who just spoke, my eyes slowly following after being transfixed on how wet and swollen Wild's lips had gotten. Perfect. Fuck, she had a perfect mouth. Legs stood in front of us in a short yellow dress, arms crossed and eyes curious, going between Sid and me. Knew it was her. Sort of recognized her from the night with the Corvette, but it was my best friend's infatuation that had me knowing this was Legs. "Oh, hey, Tori," Sydney greeted her and grabbed her hand, keeping her other hand on my hip. She tugged her closer. So this is Brian," she said, and then leaned in to add, "Brian, Brian." Tori looked up at me, her mouth fell open. "No way. You're in Dogwood? He's not just in Dogwood, he's Jamie's roommate," Sydney answered for me. Tori's mouth fell open farther. "No freaking way." I smiled, slid my arm over Sydney's shoulder again, and tugged her until she couldn't get closer to me unless I picked her tiny ass up. I considered doing it, missed her legs wrapped around my waist. Tori watched this happen, and she did it looking happy, her mouth closing and then twisting into a grin, and her eyes shining with approval. She was so happy about it, she jerked forward, careful of my girl, threw her arms around my neck, and gave me a squeeze. "You have so much potential, you have no idea," she said quietly against my ear. Sid giggled next to me. Thanks, I replied, reciprocated by patting her back with my free hand, and then giving her a nod when she released me and stepped back. "So much," she added, then frowned to say, "Your roommate? Not so much." "Oh my God, did you sleep with him?" Sid asked. I wasn't interested in sticking around to hear this conversation. Didn't care who my friend fucked, who Sid's friend fucked, or if they happened to fuck each other, but Sidney cared. God, no, Tori said, appearing disgusted. And that ship has sailed. We'll never turn around and look back in his direction, even if his ass is in the water drowning, which is why I've been looking all over this stupid, not even the least bit impressive house for you. I'm ready to go. Her eyes sliced to mine. No offense. None taken, I told her. Tori looked back to Sid, asking, You ready? My grip around her tightened. Sidney felt it, inhaling sharply. Tori saw it happen and reacted her own way by lifting her eyebrows and assessing the two of us, not looking pissed, but instead looking interested and pleased she got to witness what just happened. Or, are you not ready? Tori corrected, eyes fixating on Sid. I watched Sid look up at me, suck on her bottom lip, then turn her head back to Tori. I'm gonna stay here, for the night. She added that last part quickly, looked back up into my eyes, then lower, seeing my contented smile and giving one back, bright white teeth and dimples. Yeah, I kinda figured that, Tori chuckled, then released Sidney's hand, only to pull her into a hug and doing it awkwardly, considering the permanent grip I had and my close proximity. I could have let go, stepped back, and given Sid some space. I didn't. No matter. It didn't seem to faze the two of them, and they hugged it out anyway, whispering words to each other, then waving after they pulled away. See you tomorrow, Tori told Sid, then looked at me to say, Later, potential. She said it wearing a smile that matched my girl's, content and a little excited. Later, I replied. Tori spun around, blended in with the crowd heading out of the living room and toward the door, and filed out with the rest of them, a few lagging behind, thinking I meant, get the fuck out, but do it at your own pace. Wasn't what I meant, and the second they saw me glaring at their slow-moving asses getting off my couch, two guys and a chick, they picked it up and moved out, doing it swiftly. We were alone. Finally. Sidney turned in my arms, wrapped hers around my waist, rested her chin on my chest, and blinked up at me, sighing. He must have done something really bad for Tori to pass on bedding him for good, she squinted, thinking. What do you think he could have done? I mean, he clearly wants to get with her. Why would he risk screwing up his chances? Unless he had no idea he was doing something stupid. I bet that's it. Idiot, she huffed, rolling her eyes. Is he really as dumb as he is pretty? Because I'm convinced he's getting by life solely on looks. Babe, I dropped my forehead against hers. Yeah? Sorry, gotta be honest. Of course, she said, smiling a little. Don't really care what happened between the two of them, I told her. She scrunched up her nose. I studied how cute she looked with her nose like that, then explained. The only thing I care about is my girl and the fact I finally got her. I'm gonna let that soak in. Part of taking the time to do that involves getting you upstairs now that everyone has cleared the fuck out so I can eat your pussy. Her eyes went wide. Oh, she whispered. Yeah, so if we could, can we stop talking about why other people aren't fucking? She nodded enthusiastically. Sweet and cute. Laughing and pressing a kiss to her hair, I turned her and moved us together across the living room and into the hall, making her go in front of me up the stairs so I could stare at her ass and not keeping that from her, making my motives known, then directing her to the last door on the right with my hand on her lower back. I reached in, flipped on the light, stepped inside, made it almost to the bed, then turned back to see her halted in the doorway. You coming?
I can't believe this is happening.